O Lord, tireless guardian of your people, teach us to rely day and night on your care. Drive us to seek your justice and your help, and support our prayer lest we grow weary. For in you alone is our strength. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We begin a new chapter in Luke this morning, and with it a new series of teachings from Jesus. We shift from teachings about the nature of the coming kingdom of God to teachings that delve deeper into the contrast between the poor and the privileged. In the next chapter of Luke, Jesus' long journey on the way to Jerusalem comes to completion with his entry to Jerusalem. Our parable this morning is told only in Luke. It is unique of being one of only two parables in which Jesus tells us what the parable is about before he tells it. Again, he is gathered only with his followers and tells them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. Prayer and work of the Spirit are common and persistent themes in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is often at prayer, and his actions are frequently described as spirit-filled. Jesus regularly takes time alone, away from the crowds and even away from the disciples, to pray. Ancient rabbinic thought that too much prayer was actually annoying to God. Followers were advised to follow the prescribed order of 3 hours of prayer a day. Apparently, any more prayer than 3 hours a day per person strained the ear of the Almighty. But Jesus is teaching us to be persistent, if not even continuous, in our prayer. Our lesson today has only two characters, a judge and a widow. But as you might suspect, there is great significance in the roles they play. There is also a great power differential between these two characters. The apparent plaintiff is described only as a widow, but this tells us much about her status in the community. As in any patriarchal society, a woman was totally dependent upon the males in her family. At her marriage, ownership was essentially transferred from her father to her husband. She was utterly dependent upon her husband's support, but if he died, she was unable to inherit the estate. By law, the estate passed to her sons, and lacking sons, to her husband's brothers. She then became totally dependent upon their goodwill. If they chose not to support her, she became homeless and destitute. This often resulted in legal disputes that rose to the level of being brought before a judge for settlement. Such is apparently the case in the parable today. The plight of the widow and orphan in Scripture, and especially in Luke and Acts, which Luke also wrote, usually represents the vulnerable, helpless, and powerless victim. Care of widows as well as orphans is demanded by Hebrew Scripture. Isaiah tells us that only the legal case of an orphan takes precedence of the case of a widow. Care of this vulnerable group was also seen as a special Christian duty within the early church. The judge, on the other hand, was, of course, a man, and in a position of great power and influence. It was the role of the judge to maintain harmony in the community and to hear cases without prejudice, and render judgments fairly and impartially. As judges are told when appointed, is related in 2 Chronicles, you judge not on behalf of human beings, but on the Lord's behalf. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care what you do, for there is no perversion of justice with the Lord our God. Judges are instructed by Torah, which is the law, to hear cases small and great alike, and not to be intimidated by anyone, for judgment is God's. Such legal authority was made even more formidable and that the judge's decision was final. The case was presented to him alone, without jury, and there was no appeal from his decision. The judge in this parable is introduced as utterly corrupt and unfit for office, for he neither feared God nor had respect for people. While not dismissing the poor widow's lawsuit outright, he simply refused to hear it. But she is obviously not one to be deterred, for she kept coming to him in her pursuit of justice. Persistence is her only real option. I can only imagine her following him around and badgering him on the streets of town, making a bit of a spectacle of herself, but embarrassing the judge before all onlookers. And now we are treated to one of Luke's favorite literary devices, the interior monologue. We have seen this in the parables of the prodigal son, the rich fool, and the dishonest steward. The judge has a little talk with himself. He acknowledges his corruption, but in a surprise move, he decides to grant the widow justice. While our modern translation tells us he did so that she may not wear me out, the original Greek actually implies a possible concern for his physical safety. It uses language from the boxing ring, which more literally translates that she may not blacken my eyes. Perhaps her public protestations have begun to become a little more aggressive. Whatever her reason, her persistence has paid off, and justice is hers. Jesus then finishes the parable by reminding us what he told us the parable was all about from the beginning. Pray always. God will grant justice to those who pray persistently day and night. Justice will be quickly granted. Do not lose heart. I think we hear in his message a call and a challenge to re-examine our own faith. Is our faith as persistent as that of the widow? Do we possess and profess faith even the size of a mustard seed? Is prayer a significant activity in our lives? And speaking of persistent prayer, we must be careful not to confuse a prayerful life with an inactive life or an uninvolved, uncommitted life. A life of faith and persistent prayer is not a life led in isolation and contemplation. Rather, it is a call to involvement and action. The way of the kingdom challenges us not only to re-examine our faith, but how that faith works in each of our lives. It calls us to reconsider our priorities based on those things of which our faith informs us: the mercy, the compassion, and the blessing of God. It is the repeated gospel message of love, forgiveness, justice, and inclusion. It is more than simply praying for the homeless, the helpless, the sick, and the outcast, and waiting for God to make things better. We are called to put our faith into action, to help as we are able, to challenge injustice, to expose dishonesty, to protect the helpless, the widow and the orphan. One of the reasons followers of the way in the early church began to lose heart was the delay in the expected return of Christ. Most of them expected to see it within their lifetimes. We are now almost 2,000 years past the time of Luke, and we are still waiting. But we have come to understand that we, the faithful, are an important part of creating the kingdom of God here on earth. And that can only be accomplished through persistent prayer and the call to action that prayer evokes.